We have one last small point, not to the end of not really the end of Siman Pei Zayin, but at least the end of the part that we're going to talk about more Bi'arichos, and that's a comment that appears in the Ramah. The Ramah is already quoting from the Rishonim, and this became a topic in of itself. And that's the issue as follows: the Ramah quotes a shaila about if I'm sharing a fire with a goy, so I'm cooking my kosher food here, or if the goy is cooking, I have no idea what he's cooking. And I'm interested in stoking the coals with. I want to make my fire a little bit better. I don't really care what the guy's doing. And my stirring the coals may end up being an outright Torah violation of Los Avashuk Dibachol Avimo, because I have no idea what's inside the guy's pot. So in theory, if the guy's mamish is Vos Bachol in the pot, that's a pretty serious problem. So I stick my head inside and I see, it doesn't look too Vos Bachol to me. Looks like he's cooking some meat. I don't look around, don't see the Bachol there. Or I see he's cooking himself a pot of milk, I don't see the Vos there. So what could possibly be wrong? So the Ramah quotes some who are machmir who say that I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't be stoking the coals because there's some kind of potential issur bas b'cholov. What's the potential issur bas b'cholov? And the answer is, even if I don't see bas b'cholov there, as we're going to soon find out in Yeradeya, there's more than meets the eye. Okay? Maybe I have to be concerned with belios inside the walls of this pot. So even though right now he's cooking up a pot of cholent, or whatever else the guy is cooking with me, maybe there are bleas of milk inside the walls of his pot. If there are bleas of milk, let's say he just cooked milk an hour before, if there's taste, it's absorption of taste inside the walls of his pot, so that's tantamount to me cooking bas b'cholov, because I'm drawing out some of the milk from the walls of the pot into the meat. It's all cooking together. It's bas b'cholov. So I'm in violation of those savashim d'b'cholovimo. Now the fact that the meat is probably not kosher meat, that's not going to solve much of the problem, as we spoke about back in the beginning of Siman Pei Zayin, if it would be chazer, if I asked the goy to please cook ham, that would be all right. But if he happens to be cooking beef, so even though it wasn't shechted, it's b'san aveila, but we know that maybe there's no iser b'achilas, bas b'cholov b'san aveila. Maybe even there's no iser hanoh, perhaps, going to the Rambam, on b'sar aveila b'cholov. But iser bishul, for sure there is, that's the Beferish Gemara in Maseches Chulin. So I'm back to square one. So I see the goy cooking meat. Do I have to be concerned that lest there's maybe there's milk, the bleas of milk inside? So the Ramah quotes some Rishonim Takum who were concerned about this, who were very, very concerned about this. And at the end of the day, the Ramah says, yeah, it's a chumrah, but it's not really true. It's not really, really mikra din. And the question is, well, it sounds like a pretty good chumrah to me. It sounds like a Takum makes a lot of sense. What could possibly be to mitigate this problem? Why is this not such a serious problem? Or maybe Takum is a serious problem. What exactly is Nekudas HaShaila here? Should I have to be concerned with the potential bleas of the goy? So there are two fundamentally different approaches to how to deal with this shaila. One is a very much focused on a bas b'cholov type of a shaila, and the other approach is more of a really much more of a Hilchos Shabbos shaila than it is a Hilchos bas b'cholov shaila. Since we are learning bas b'cholov, although contrary to popular opinion, we probably spent more time talking about Hilchos Shabbos the last couple of shiurim, but since we are focusing on bas b'cholov, so we'll start from the bas b'cholov angle, then hopefully we'll move into the Hilchos Shabbos, the general secretions, etc., that part of the discussion. So let's take the worst case scenario. Let's say I know for a fact exactly what's going on. I know that the guy, I was watching him an hour ago, he was cooking milk, and now he's cooking meat. So I know with absolute certainty that there is basar b'cholov in a sense present here. I have meat that's pan, I have tam or b'cholov. So it sounds like that's a disaster. It sounds like that should be a real bona fide issur d'oraisa bishul basar b'cholov. So not so fair. The question is that called losavashuk di b'cholovimo? I have to have basar present, and I have to have cholov present. So I have basar, that's the end of the piece of steak, and I have cholov, right? Don't I have cholov? Looked in the walls of the pot. Isn't there a tam cholov? Isn't that considered to be the equivalent of having mamish cholov? Well, the answer to that question is, it depends. It depends, l'chora, on what you think about a more general question, which hopefully we're going to get to much more in Hilchos Tarovos, l'cholov. A general question, what you take is on the following topic. The following topic called ta'am ki'ikr. What if I don't have a be'en here? I don't have an actual piece of treifas in front of me, but I do have tam of treifas here. Is that considered to be the equivalent of the dovish of be'en? If I eat something which is permeated with tam of chazir, is that like eating chazir? Or is that not like eating chazir? It's not the famous sugya in the beginning of the Siman Sechas, or the sugya of tam ki'ikr. So what's the answer to that question? Is tam ki'ikr or not? So we know the halacha is ki'ikr, but we know the Mishnah says explicitly that I'm not allowed to eat something which has tam of treifas in it. The Mishnah Beferish says that, let's say, a piece of nevela falls into a pot of kosher food, and I take the whole nevela out. So there's no more be'en here. So I know there's no be'en here, But Nebuch, I can taste a little bit of the nevela in the soup, taste a little bit of the nevela in the potatoes. So the Mishnah says Beferish should not let eat it. Hareza b'nesin tam. So there's no shaila l'maisa whether you're allowed to eat this food, even though there's no be'en. All there is tam. So there's no question that quote unquote tam is the ikar, but it's highly questionable whether this is a din deraisa or whether this is only a din midrabbanan. So again, we're not learning tam kikar now. Hopefully, we'll spend a lot of time of that down the line. But just suffice it to say that it's a big, big machlokes. A major, major machlokes in the Rishonim, whether tam kikar is in fact deraisa or whether tam kikar is not deraisa. So at first glance, this should be the solution to our problem. If you're willing to take the approach that tam kikar is not deraisa, which many Rishonim say, Rashi, for example, says that, in a certain limited sense, the Rambam holds that way. Also, the tam kikar is not really deraisa, just because you have a taste of something that's not the chaza of a betera, that's not the nevela of a betera, then l'chora, that's not the basa of a betera, that's not the chalav of a betera. So the fact that, yes, it's true that the halach and Shulchan Aruch, we equate tam kikar, maybe that's only midrabanan, the equation of tam kikar. If that's true, that equating tam kikar is only binding on us midrabanan, then we fall back to something that we've said already many times, that the issue of bishul, basa b'chalav, only the pashtus only applies to bishul of real basa, bishul of real chalav. It's only violated when there's a real deraisa involved. When for any shape or form there's only a derabanan on the table, or only a derabanan in the pot, so then there's no real issur of bishul. There's an issur of achila, but there's no issur of bishul. Now, I over-dramatized that. I overstated that a little bit earlier on. I made a sweeping statement that whenever there's only a derabanan, it's always mutav bishul. I said that because I was just quoting the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that. So somebody pointed out to me correctly that there are Gedolei Achronim who don't say that. There are Gedolei Achronim who highlight that every once in a while you do bump into something that's only bas b'chalav d'rabbanan, and it's still in the bishul. It's the sugya mechalav. So I over-exaggerated my reading of the Shulchan Aruch, and I was meidel emes, that was against Rebbe Kiveger and against the Prima Gadim. So I'm willing to bow before the Prima Gadim and the Rebbe Kiveger. Okay, I'm willing to be mevatel daiti to them. Good. But we're not talking about that. No one's asked me shalas about mevashel mechalav right now, so we're going to get away from that. But the starting point is probably correct, that whatever is derabbanan, there's no issur of bishul. So if we can somehow knock down this bas b'chalav in front of us to a derabbanan dikar bas b'chalav, then we're home free. Then it should be het negomer to be mevashalit. So that would be a great solution. So if you're willing to go the route of Rashi, another Rishonim would say that tam kikar doesn't exist with deraisa, it sounds like you're home free. It sounds like it should be gevaldik, bishul should be great, and the whole chumra, the ramah, the whole thing doesn't concern us. I'm stirring the pot, I'm cooking the food, I'm cooking the goy's steak with the goy's glias of milk. Who cares? It's only the rabbanan and everything shalom yisrael. So this is not a corrected approach. What I just built up a straw man for you only because I want to destroy it in a minute. The Gemara says in Maseches Chul on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph that even if you hold that tam kikar is only with the rabbanan, there's one area of halacha where tam kikar is for sure deraisa, and that's where? Bas b'chalav. Why? How do you know? Well, every bas b'chalav is tam. Every bas b'chalav is only tam. Why? How do you know? I take a piece of steak and I cook it in a pot of milk. I take the steak out. Do I see the milk? See the milk. See the, like the milk sitting? Milk's absorbed into the meat, and the Torah says you still can't eat it because there's a tam of cholav there. So you see that tam ki ikar is for sure true in bas b'chalav. Part of the shaila whether tam ki ikar and kol ha'tara kula is true or not is can we derive from Basa B'cholav or not? So that's a whole sugya, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph in Chulin, Abaye and Rava. Hopefully again, we'll talk about this much, many, many times down the line. Is Basa B'cholav a good model for Tam Kikar and Kol HaTorah Kula? Or maybe Yesh V'chalek between Basa B'cholav and other areas of Halacha. But Kuli Amri Pligi, the Tam Kikar exists in HaTorah by Basa B'cholav. Every Basa B'cholav is Tam Kikar. So why want to create a whole Shtikl Torah to explain why you're allowed to cook the meat together with the blias of challah because it's not because it's only tam kikar and tam kikar is maybe only midrabanan, so that just fell by the wayside. There's no way one could say such a thing because tam kikar vada is derais and bas b'chol. So can we still salvage up shop? We tried. We knocked ourselves down. Can we stand up again? Can we try a second time around? So yes, come a group racharim and say yes, we can still salvage the shop based on the following. When the Gemara says the tam kikar is derais and bas b'chol b'chol adayas, what the Gemara means is you started out with ingredients that were be'en. You took a piece of meat and you cooked it into a pot of milk, and now when you take out the meat so you don't see the milk there, so the only issur is based on tam kikar, that's deraisa. That's for sure deraisa. That's a far cry to what we're talking about. We're talking about I'm cooking meat in what we call a milk pot. There is no be'en in the pot. I can't see any milk. Now, the milk is long gone. The milk's been spilled out an hour ago. What do I have? I have these molecules. I have this stuff floating around, these absorptions, this glias, this tamim, whatever you want to call them, in the walls of the pot. And you want to create basa b'chola based on that. So it sounds like Tom Giger. No, that's not basa b'chola of their eyes. You know why? For the four magic words, derech bishul asra Torah. That's not a recipe for basa b'chola. Imagine the following. Imagine you have a recipe that says, requires the following ingredients. You need a piece of meat and you need a cup of milk. So the woman's about to start to cook up the piece of meat and the cup of milk, and she realizes, oh, I can't find the cup of milk, can't find any milk, no problem. I'll take a milking pot, and after all, I cooked a cup of milk in this pot an hour ago, so I have a cup's worth of milk inside the walls, and that's going to really give the taste, that's going to give the real flavor. So, Ben, I don't know that much about cooking, but I imagine that Susie Fishbein probably would not approve that that application of a recipe. Thus is Mishkin Derech Bishul, how much sugar uses the molecules inside the walls of a pot to give off tam into the bossa. In your day, it's called tam kikr. In Lomdis, it's called tam kikr. But Tachlis, in Derech Bishul, it ain't called tam kikr. This is not included in the Gzeres HaKos that Bos B'chol of Tam is Ki'ikr Midaraisa. This is nothing Midaraisa. This is Mishkin Tam. This is not Bos B'chol of Deraisa. I didn't say it's mutter. The Gemara is a bit feverish in the Masechet Chul, in the seventh barak. If you have a fleshic pot, and now you cook milchiks in that, but you cook milk in that pot, so the milk becomes treif. That's feverish in the Gemara. But the fact that the milk becomes treif by cooking it in a fleshic pot, that's only mitzvah rabbanan. That's not deraisa. That'd be deraisa. What kind of derech bishul is that? So if that's the case, if we can somehow knock down any blias inside the walls of a pot to all midrabanan, there can never ever be a bishul bas b'chol deraisa, but it's lacking in that klal of derech bishul asr Torah, then the chayr were home free in the case of the Ramah. What was so gefelich? I'm stirring the coals under the pot and the meat is cooking up together with the milk that's inside the walls of the pot. Big deal, big spritz. There's no deraisa here anyway. It's not derech bishul. It's only midrabanan. And whenever there's bishul, whenever there's bas b'chol derabanan, so the Isser only applies to Achila, doesn't apply to bishops. That would be a gewaldic coup. That would be a gewaldic way of reading whether Ramah macht the vech, whether Ramah wasn't too concerned with this whole story. But Rabbi Isai, not everyone agreed to this. The Gedalia Achrayim disagreed. The Gedalia Achrayim said, no, Tam Kik is Diaraisa, maybe in Kol Terakula, for sure in Bas B'chola, and Belias inside the walls of a pot is considered to be Tam, that we know for a fact. That's the Parshan Chumash of Yulei Klamidyan. The Torah says you have to kasha kalim. Why are you kashing kalim? If not to get out the tam, isn't that obvious? The only reason why you're kashing kalim is to get out the tam, right? Don't answer that question. We'll get to that later on. But isn't it obvious that the whole parsha of kashing kalim, parsha's matzis, is to get out the tam? So you see that the Torah treats this as mamish tam gomer. This is it. This is tam kiker. So some achrayim say it's called derech bishul. Either women don't call derech bishul. We're not asking the people in the kitchen to determine what's called derech bishul. This is called derech bishul also. This is also called derech bishul. So if you hold that we have a bishul, a bas b'chov deraisa on our hands, just because we have tamim coming out of molecules of walls of pots, so then this whole beer and the sugya is not really going to fly. It's not going to help us too much. So we're still trying to minimize this issue. To understand why, although some rishonim said you can't stir the coals, it's a terrible thing, well, the Ramah doesn't seem to be too concerned. The Ramah's not losing too much sleep over this chumrah of not stirring the coals. Why not? It sounds like a good chumrah to me. It's not a bad chumrah. Why does the Ramah make light of this chumrah? So maybe there's a whole different approach to this sugya. Maybe the reason why it's not so bad to stir the coals has nothing to do with your daya. It has much, much more to do with Arachayim. What do I mean by that? Do I know what the goy cooked an hour ago with? I stick my head into the pot of the goy, and I see he's cooking up a stew here. I have to be concerned. Maybe it's possible that an hour ago he cooked milk in there. It's a 50-50 chance what he cooked. I have no idea. Maybe he cooked milk for breakfast. Maybe he had soy milk for breakfast. I don't know what he cooked up for cereal with his oatmeal in the morning. I have no idea. It's a chance. It's a 50-50 chance. Am I particularly interested in cooking bas b'chola? My goal right now is not to cook bas b'chola. My goal is I want to eat my food tonight. Right? I want to eat my kosher food. It happens to be I'm sharing. We're in campsite somewhere. We're sharing this big fire together. So I got to stir the coals underneath, and I'm interested in doing X in stirring my coals under my pot. But Lamaisa, by stirring my coals, I'm stirring his coals also. But I'm not. I don't particularly know what's really going on. So perhaps we could salvage this whole sugya and salvage this whole lister and call it a three magic words from the Masechet Shabbos called Dover Shein Miskaven. We'll call it a Dover Shein Miskaven because Lamaisa, I'm not Miskaven. That's not my goal. It's almost identical to the person who's dragging the bench and he doesn't really know whether a charitza is going to be made, whether a hole is going to be made. And we know, Rabbi Shimon Begreira, Erisha Gemara, we follow Rabbi Shimon, Dov Shem is Kavin is Mutter. So if you hold that this is the Dov Shem is Kavin, and the Dov Shem is Kavin is Mutter, it sounds like you're home free, right? So maybe that's the Bira Dov. Maybe that's the defense for this practice of stirring my coals. Because after all, it's only a Dov Shem is Kavin, because I really don't know what the facts are. So I don't really know whether there's any issue, whether there's any possible chol here in the first place. Of course, it would be a big difference if you go this route or the first route. What if I know the facts? What if I was there, I watched him cook milk an hour ago, and now I see him cooking meat? So then maybe it's no longer Dov Shem is Kavin. If you go with the first beer that, well, it's not called Bishol Bosom Bacholov because it's only Tom, it's not Derech Bishol, we could salvage even that. If you go with the second route that's based on the head of Dov Shem is Kavin, so then it would only be true if the facts are right. Namely, I don't know what the facts are. I don't know what's inside the walls of the spot. I will hide behind the cloud of Dov Shem is Kavin. So of course, those who remember from Masech Shabbos from last year will remember that, well, I just said a minute ago that Dov Shem is Kavin is Mutter, because we all know we pass like Rabbi Shimon, right? Everybody knows we follow Rabbi Shimon. Almost everybody knows we follow Rabbi Shimon, except for who? Hamba. No follow Rabbi Shimon? Dov Shem is Kavin, not Melach Shiatuch L'Gufa. Please, guys. But which Rishon, which great Rishon says we only follow Rabbi Shimon sometimes? What? The Shiltos, thank you. The Shiltos. Who said the Shiltos? Shiltos. King Taisus quotes from the Shiltos that where the Rama Murim that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that's where, that's in Hilchas Hilchas Shabbos. But in Kol Torah Kula, so who says we pass like Rabbi Shimon? He states we pass like Rabbi Shimon in Kol Torah Kula. So Taisus shows you this now. Taisus shows we pass like Rabbi Shimon in Kol Torah Kula. Okay, so we can breathe a sigh of relief. We pass like Rabbi Shimon in Kol Torah. Okay, good. We're okay. Mishnah Nazir, okay, enough of that. So we're still hanging on to Dov Shem Iskavit for dear life. So we're going to be mounted this based on Dov Shem Iskavit. Not so simple, Rabbi Yisai, because, of course, as we all know from Masech Shabbos, there's an exception to the rule of Dov Shem Iskavit. The famous words are, Bai v'rav v'dem v'chavayim, m'ed v'bishim v'psik reisha. When do we say Dov Shem Iskavit is mutter? That's if it's a very, very light chair, light bench. It's maybe going to make the chavit, maybe not. But if I know for a fact it's going to make a charitz, then all bets are off. That's not called the Dov Shem is Kavin anymore. That's called the Psik Reisha. So now let's analyze this case of the pot in front of me. I want to know, is this called the Dov Shem is Kavin or is this called the Psik Reisha? So before, the answer to the question is very simple. Do you know or do you not know? If you know for a fact that he cooked milch in it an hour ago and now you see he's cooking steak in it, so that's called the Psik Reisha. So you're not going to be able to hide behind Dov Shem is Kavin anymore. But I don't know. I have no idea what he cooked in it. So it's still a 50-50 suffix. I don't mean 50-50. There's a guy in my shul who's like a big mathematician. So I always say 50-50 suffix about things. He always gets very upset at me. He says, no, that's not really called 50-50 and it's not true. And he gives me the whole statistics why. I said, I use the phrase colloquially 50-50. There's a famous revash about 50-50 suffix. Does anyone know? Quoted by the Shachar, quoted Sveik Sveika, famous Rivash. Rivash says that if you look at the Gemara, that idea of a mechza, mechza, doesn't appear all that often. That phrase, 50-50 suffix, appears in one place in Shas. Anyone know? Mechza zocha, mechza nekeva. That's the only place the Gemara uses the term mechza, mechza. I mean, not the only place, but for the purpose of Sveik Sveika. So the Rivash says, it's only that type of a suffix of mechza zochar, mechza nekevas that the Gemara is willing to call 50-50, because it's the only suffix that's absolutely 50-50, though, the Rivash. He says, those are the numbers, it's 50-50. All of the Sveikas are 60-40, 70-30, 52.5 to 47, whatever. The only real bona fide mechza, mechza zochar, mechza nekevas, that's the way the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, that's a mechza zochar, mechza nekevas. That's why Shtetin Rivash quoted the quality Sveik Sveika the Shach. So I have to always say that my wife disagrees with that Rivash, because anyone who knows anything about Shidduchim knows that the numbers aren't true. There are 80 girls and there are 20 boys, so every singles event is like that. So how can you say it's 50-50? That's Archim. What happened exactly? So you got to talk to the Mumchim in the statistics and figure out why exactly we're in the phenomenon of the Shidduch Christ that we have, but it's against the Rivash. Nothing. So Rabbi Sai, so the Chora, if I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the Goy's pot, I'm looking at the meat inside the Goy's pot, I have no clue as to whether we cooked milk in an hour before. Then it's a suffix. It's a suffix. It should be a Dov Shem Iskavit. How can we be trying for Psik Reisha? What are you telling me a story about Psik Reisha? That was a good fun, by the way. Trying to think of a pot. Okay. So what are you telling me a story about a Psik Reisha? It's a Dov Shem Iskavit. So Yaduam before some comes Rabbi Kiveger, it's in Pezayan, and throws Mamash a curveball at us. Comes Rabbi Kiveger and says, no, you don't know whether the Goy cooked milk in it in this pot an hour ago? That's not a Dov Shem Iskavit. You know what that's called? It's called the Sofek Psik Reisha. The first time, where were you when you first heard this term, Safek Psik Reisha? The first time I heard this term, Safek Psik Reisha, a long, long time ago, so I had the reaction that probably everybody else should have, is that that is double talk. That is a contradiction in terms. What is Safek Psik Reisha? The very term Psik Reisha means that you know that it's going to happen. So what do you mean it's a Safek Psik Reisha? If it's a Safek Psik Reisha, there's another term that we call a Safek Psik Reisha. No, we call it? We call it Darshan Miskavin. So let's talk about the Safek Psik Reisha. Okay, it explains a little bit more. So like Rabbi Kivega, and Rabbi Kivega says it, and then we're elaborating on it a little bit. We're going to put our twist on it. But basically, Rabbi Kivega says the following: you say, "The mendevam amurim that we can hide behind davishin miskavein." That's when I'm doing something, and the latest asofik is something lahabah. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. There's a piece of information that hasn't yet occurred. That's called the davishin miskavein. When you have a latest asofik l'sha'avar, there's a piece of information that you happen not to know. I'm not angry at you for not knowing it. Maybe I'm not holding you responsible for that. It doesn't really matter why you don't know. But tachas is a piece of information that is lacking in your knowledge base right now. That's not called a davishin miskavein. That's called, if that piece of information points in the direction of Isser, then you have a psik reisha on your hands. If that piece of information points in the direction of Heter, then you don't have a psik reisha in your hands. You don't know whether you have a psik reisha in your hands. That's called a suffix psik reisha. And what's the din of a suffix psik reisha? No different than any other suffix in halacha. And we're talking about a deraisa, bishul bas b'chom, sveka deraisa b'chomra. So ad kan divir Rabbi Kivega. So Rabbi Kivega throws mamish this whole new concept at us called the suffix psik reisha. And zok to Rabbi Kivega, that's going to make it bad for us. That's going to cause very, very serious problems in terms of stirring these coals. The Ramon Machsevek, the Yisra of stirring coals, it's a chum b'yama, don't worry about it, it's not so bad. Says we can make it, it's not so bad, it's terrible. It's a Sofik Yisra deraisa. It's a Sofik Sigration because there's a piece of information you don't know, namely, is there bleas of milk in the walls of this pot? It happened already. Either it happened or it didn't happen. It's a Sofik L'sha'avar, and a Sofik L'sha'avar is not called a Davar Shein Miskaven, it's called a Sofik Sigration, and that's going to spell trouble. Say Yadua, those who learned Masech Shabbos last year, that the Bar Plukta of this Rabbi Kivega is who? Is the Taz. The Taz in Ruch HaShabbos gives you a scenario of what Rabbi Kivega would clearly call a Safek Psik Reisha and calls it a Davar Shein Miskaven. What's the case of the Taz? The famous case of the Taz in the Siman about Seid, about trapping the flies and trapping the animals on Shabbos. We have a major Mechlekes Rabbi Sheinim about a guy who wants to sit down on a box. And there are flies in the box. He knows, therefore, he looks, he sees a lot of things buzzing around. He closes the box. Why is he closing the box? He doesn't particularly want to catch his flies. He wants to sit on the box. Can he close the box to sit on the box, knowing full well there are flies there? So, l'chorah, that's a classic situation. So, the Rishonim Taka have a machlokes about that. Some Rishonim Taka say it's mutter. Why? Who remembers from Shabbos? Maybe it's mutter for a different reason. Why? Even though it's a psikration, maybe it's a derabon, a psikration, a michle, derabon. There are other kunsim, one maybe you can be mad to this. But many Rishonim say it's a problem. So, kum to Taz with the following Pshah. Comes to Taz and says, it could be that if you know there are flies there inside the box, Taka, it's a problem. You shouldn't close the box. But if you don't know where there are flies there, it's only a suffix that there are flies. You're not going to stick your head in to get to see where there are flies there. So the Taz, if you don't know there are flies there, so it's not a psik reisha, because whatever you don't know is not a psik reisha. It's only a davar shein miskaven. Whatever davar shein miskaven is mutter. So this is a classic violation of Rav Kivega's klal. Rav Kivega himself quotes the Taz. He says, according to what I just said, that whenever the latest asofik is something in the past, that's not called a davar shein miskaven anymore. That's called a suffix psik reisha. How could the Taz be matir in the case of the flies? So you see that someone's got to give. Either I'm right or the Taz is right. We can't both be right. We're both addressing the same shah. The Taz is saying what I would have said. Before I read this from Kivega in Pezayim, I would have looked like the Taz. If it's a latest asofik, so it's a latest asofik. Malach lech patli, where the latest asofik is l'sha'av or loss of love. If it's the latest asofik, if there's a sofik here, sofik automatically undermines the principle of psik reisha. That's what the Taz is learning. Kivega says, no, it's a lam de shavar, sofik l'habal, l'sha'av, etc. This machlag is now in Hilchas psik reisha, is now going to affect, can I stir this pot or not? So we have a whole different approach now to the issue of stirring the pots. This is not a bas v'chalav issue anymore. Your day we finished already. Now we're back to Or HaChaim. We want to know, is this cool davar shein miskaven? Is this cool? Can we hide behind davar shein miskaven like the Taz L'Chor would say? Or are we forced to call this newfangled category called Safek Psik Reisha? What should this issue depend upon? Who's right? L'Chor and Lomdus. Is the Taz's application from say the correct, which would spill over to Bas Mechal to be Matir? Or do we have to put the brakes on this and say Rabbi Kivega is right, that a subsequation is Taka problem? So, we also spent a lot of time on this last year, Masech HaShabbos. So, the Ora, the answer to this question is really a fundamental lumdish question: what Psik Reish is about in the first place. How did Psik Reish become also? Why is it that Av Vayi V'Rav Adem Tervayu Melodi Reb Shimon Psik Reish? Why is Psik Reish so bad? What made Psik Reish so problematic? After all, if you think about it, it's a Dovar She'eino Piskavin. I'm not planning on making a hole. I want to drag my chair. A hole is being made. It's a Dovar She'eino Piskavin. I'm not being mechavin to make this hole. No, Abai V'Rav Adem Tervayu Melodi Reb Shimon Psik Reish. Why? It's a big Chiddush Psik Reish. You know why I know it's a big Chiddush? Because it took Abai a long time to come around. The Gemara says that Abai first didn't accept it. Abai in the early years thought that Reb Shimon is mocked even by Psik Reish, and Rava told him no, and eventually Rava brought him around. That's what we saw last year. A lot of sugars and shas that maybe still pre Abai days. There was some place in the Gemara where the Gemara seems to ignore Psik Reish. So somebody would Rishonim say, yeah, that was pre the Chiddush of Abai for Rava. Before Rava was Mashpi on Abai. So it's a big Chiddush. It took halfway through the period of the Amorim to come up with this idea of Moda Bayv Rav Rishon of Psik Reish. It's a tremendous Chiddush. So, Taka, why is it true? Lamai said it's true. We live post Bayv Rav, we accept this Klal of Moda Rishon of Psik Reish. It's a Deraisa. It's Klof Nigmar Shabbos Kuf Gimel. It's a Deraisa. What's it based on? What's the Lamas? So, Yadua, before some, the famous word from Rabbi Chanan that appears actually in Maseches Ksubis, by golly, first Pekka Ksubis. This is the famous Shtickle Torah from Rabbi Chanan. Anyone knows who wrote up the Shtickle Torah? Rabbi Drumman wrote up the Shtickle Torah. Right, I said Elisha, okay? The Kavit Shurim was written up by the Talmidim of different Talmidim wrote up different pieces from Rabbi Chanan. So the way Amasir is, that's what I've heard at least, is that this particular piece was written up by Rabbi Drumman. Rabbi Drumman's one of the Rosh Hashivas here at Shiva. Anyone remember him? Anyone was around that? It wasn't so long ago. So Rabbi Drumman was the Talmud of Baranovich. So the way the Amasir has it is that he was the one who actually wrote up this piece. Probably one of the most famous of Rabbi Chanan's around. So Rabbi Chanan explains that he doesn't actually address Rabbi Kveger and Taz in the Shtickle Torah, but he addresses the Tut Stadim. There are two fundamentally different ways of understanding what Psik Reish is all about. Rabbi Chanan does not use these terms, but I always quote these terms. You'll see in a minute why Rabbi Chanan didn't use the terms, but I'm going to tell you why I use the terms. It's all the same thing. Rabbi Chanan presents the two ways of understanding Psik Reish. Is Psik Reish what we call, in our lingo, the psychological pshat? Was Psik Reish we call the halachic pshat? Namely, who determines whether it's called the Psik Reish? Who is making this call? Is Psik Reish a halachic concept? The halacha state that the Dini HaTorah declared this is called the Psik Reish, Medrash Shem Psik Reish? Or is Psik Reish something that's determined by the subconscious, the experts in the subconscious, namely the psychologists? They're the ones who convey it's called Psik Reish. What do I mean by that? Psik Reish means that I'm dragging a chair. It's a very, very heavy chair. I know with absolute certainty it's going to make a tremendous hole in my backyard. How can you say with a straight face, Dovah Shem Iskavim? Who are you kidding, Dovah Shem Iskavim? You know exactly what's going to happen. What are you kidding? Your mama, you're a chakra, and you say, you're not mechavim. You are mechavim. If you're carrying, if you're schlepping a light chair, it may make a hole, maybe not make a hole. I don't know. I'm not sure. 50-50 chance. I don't know. So then you can hide behind Dovah Shem Iskavim. Once you know for a fact what's going to happen, you cannot hide behind Dovah Shem Iskavim. Meidu Shem Psik Reish means that it is mechavin. It's called the Dover mechavin mamish. That's what we call the psychological pshat. Says Rabbi Chanan, one could understand Psik Reish totally differently. It's not a psychological pshat. It's a halachic pshat. What's a halachic pshat? Dover Shem Iskavin means we could split between what? Between action A and action B. I'm doing action A, which is dragging a chair, and there's a 50-50 chance that a hole may be made. So you can argue A and B are two different ma'isim. A is the chair being dragged, which is what I'm doing. That's my davar mechavin. The making of a hole is action B. And A and B are not wed to one another. A and B are not married to one another. Haraya. I don't even know B is going to happen. So I'm doing A. B may happen, may not happen. So A is A, and B is B. What Hilchos Psik Reish does is it transforms, it changes the relationship between A and B. It's no longer A on one hand and B on the other hand. We have now it's been a long time since I took math, but there's a new entity called what? AB. New thing, AB. My son likes to be called AB. Avram. So he likes when the kids call him AB. Why? I have no idea. Okay? So AB, sometimes they call him AZ. Avram Zev, sometimes they call him AB. So AB is a new entity, okay? AB means that we can no longer look through the lens of halacha and say that this guy is only dragging a chair. We have to reinterpret what he's doing, and Nebuch, what we say he's doing is he is dragging his chair / making a hole, and we can no longer hide behind Dov Shem Iskavim. So the halacha dictates to us that A and B are now one. With Ora, this is the key to understanding whether the Taz Rebbe Kveger is correct. if you hold that Psik Reisha is rooted in the human mind, it's human, it's rooted in the fact that we have to declare that you are being mechavin to both. You are really being mechavin, not in the world of the Beis Medrash, in the Elmas HaLyonim, the Elmas HaTachtonim. You are really, really being mechavin to both because you know for a fact that B is going to happen. But Rabbi, I don't know B is going to happen. Why don't you know that B is going to happen? So imagine the guy's sitting in the psychologist's office, and we're trying to analyze, does he know that B is going to happen or not? So the psychologist asks him, he says, well, it depends. What's your latest assumption? Why don't you know B is going to happen? Do you not know B is going to happen because it's the double of Sha'ava? Or do you not know B is going to happen because it's the double of Asid? So the guy says, Doc, he says, Ma'ech pat lecha. Why should I care? No pun intended, Ma'ech pas lecha. Why do I care why I don't know? I don't know that B is going to happen. You want to tell me that subconsciously I'm being mechavin to B? Doctor, I'm not being mechavin to B. I don't care why I don't know if B is going to happen. I don't care whether I don't know it because it's lahaba, or I don't know it because I don't know whether there's milk inside the walls of this pot. Tachlis, at the end of the day, I have no clue whether B is going to happen. Holds man, I don't know B is going to happen. I can hide behind Dov Hashem's Kavin. So l'chayre, if the line of demarcation between Dov Hashem's Kavin and Sikresha is the kavanas of them, the consciousness of what a person's in the deeper recesses of his mind are. In the world of psychology, it doesn't really make a difference what the nature of the suffix is. I mean, we like to think in terms of lambdas. We think the whole world is based on lambdas. So we think that everything depends on, is it a suffix, this kind of a suffix, that kind of a suffix. That's the problem. We run into this problem all the time. A guy comes and he starts telling me he's got this latest suffix about this shidduch and that latest suffix, and it's a fake, and he's not sure. Because all the terms of a Tosfos, I always stop him and I say, it's a gewaldige shtickle Torah in Tosfos, totally irrelevant in terms of shidduchim. I said, because we sometimes super impose our lomdish categories on things that have nothing to do with lomdish. So comes one side, just my side, I have to get some of the great, you know, some of the pent up, you know, saga of my heart. So comes that way I can tell my wife, the reason I stay late on Sundays is to talk about Shidduchim. So comes one side in Rebbe Chanan, just to try to figure out why I stay late. So comes one side in Rebbe Chanan and says, that if that's the difference, the adoption of Miskaven or Psikresha, so I don't really care what the nature of the Sophic is. It's quite the Sophic. All they have to be Kaveh is called the Sophic. Partly what kind of all Sphakas are created equal. It's a Sophic, it's a Sophic adoption of Miskaven. So that's what the Taz says. That's Mamash what the Taz says. And that would bode very well for us. That would be great for us in terms of Sun Pei Zion. We're thrilled. We like that Taz. We're thrilled with that Taz. It would be great. But what if you take the second approach? What if you say the other way? What if you say that the line of demarcation between Dov Hashem's Kavan and Psik Reisha does not root in the recesses of the human mind, but it's rooted in the world of the Beis Medrash? When two things are connected to one another, so then you have to view them as one. If the nature of the Sofek is a Sofek L'Sha'avar, what my Sofek is, are the two things connected to one another? If the facts are that there's milk inside the walls of this pot, then this is called one maisa. My maisa stirring the coals is called maisa AB, stirring coals / cooking bus b'cholof. I happen not to be privy to that information. I don't know whether this maisa is called AB or not. I have a latest asafik about, is this called maisa AB? That's very nice. And what do you do when you have a latest asafik in halacha? The klal is sfeika deraisa l'chumra. So you have a sofik, whether the two things are wedded to one another, you have to be machmir sofik. If the latest sofik is a sofik lahaba, that's called, the halacha declares that the two things are not connected. Since lamais in the future may go one way, may go the other way, since it's possible to go this route or go that route, they're not married. You're only married bevali, not married besofik. When the nature of the sofik is a pre-existing sofik, that's a fundamentally different type of a sofik. In psychology, in the world of psychology, it doesn't make the slightest difference, but in the world of Beis Medrash, it makes all the difference in the world. If so, that Psik Reisha is fundamentally the connection between these two, then Rabbi Kivega's understanding of a suffix Psik Reisha begins to make some sense to us. Lamais, how do we pass it in halacha? Do we pass like this Taz in the back and Simon and Seyden or Chaim or Shabbos? Or do we pass like this Rabbi Kivega? Chapsin Afkamina, now I want to stir my pot. I'm sitting in a barbecue site, sitting in a campfire site, I'm cooking up my food. The guy comes with his big pot of steak in front of me. I don't know what he cooked for breakfast this morning. There may be bleas of milk in there. I have no clue. I have no way of finding out. The guy is not going to ask him anyway. He's not going to believe that. I have no idea what's going on inside the walls of this pot. There's no way for me to know. What do I do? Can I stir my coals or not? So if you go to first root, that it's okay because it's not derech bishlos atar and everything's home free and derabon, everything's gevaldik, great. But we don't want to go that route right now. Not all acharim like that. We want to be matir the sema based on davar shenem miskaven. So our initial reaction is call it a davar shenem miskaven, invoke the taz from hilchos Shabbos and call it a day. Come to Bekeg, it says not so fast. How do we pass it? La halacha, we machril like the taz and machril like Rabbi Kivegi. Who remembers from the bir halacha and hilchos Shabbos? How was the bir halacha machriya? Who remembers? The long bir halacha and hilchos Shabbos about it. What? So the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit tricky in his Achra. The Mishnah Berurah thinks in his heart of hearts, if you really read the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks in his heart of hearts, thinks the Taz is probably right, because he dug up a Mochamas that says like the Taz. Remember this Mochamas in the third paragraph by Tziruf and Mitzarev. He dug up a Ramban that seems to say like the Taz. But, you know, it's in your heart of hearts and what you put on the paper. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that, but Lamaisa, we're not so convinced. So he says, therefore, we should really be Noyeg L'chumra. We should really be Noyeg L'chumra like this Rabbi Kivegi, the Shavu D'Oraisa. But then he turns around and says, oh, by the way, the Taz is right anyway. You know what the Taz is right anyway? He's right, L'lav Mitameh. The Taz is right, not because we really convinced it's called a Dover Shenem Miskaven. Rabbi Kivegi Kenzan is right that it's called a Sofek Sigresha. But whenever you have a Sofek Segregation, then you have to plug in the rules of Sofek. What are the rules of Sofek? Sfeika deraisa l'chumra, Sfeika derabanan l'kula. The case of the Taz happens to be what? Flies. Happens to be flies anyway, which is only derabanan anyway. It's ebi minanitza. It's not a normal thing to trap. So even if you trap flies with kavanah mamish, it's only going to be a derabanan. So the Taz is right without his fancy lumdus. So halach l'maisa, that's from Bikveg. If you want to close the box, even though, and you're not sure whether there are flies there, it's mutter anyway, not because of the way the Taz formulated it, because it's called the Dov Shinim Miskaven. Ken Zayin Rikveg and Peizayin your day is the more correct shot. Maybe, against the Ramban. Maybe Taka Rikveg is right, but the Taz's case is still going to be mutter. Of course, it'll happen after Gemina. If you're mutter it based on the Taz, then you would be mutter even if there's not flies, even if it's what? Even if it's a deer. If there's a deer, let's say I walk into the house, and I have no idea whether there's a deer in my house or not. I think there may be a deer. Looks a little bit funny. But I was like, I'm not sure. Maybe there's a deer, maybe not. The shot of Tzat Tzvi is a Daraisa. Can I close the door? I want to close the door. Stop. Can I close the door? Leaving out Rashbas and others, Maisalach from Rans, from Tzedas. That was Shabbos. But I'm building your day in case you didn't notice. Okay? So just based purely on this Taz of the Kivega, so the Mishnah Berurah says that if you hold like the Taz, mamish like the Taz, then even the deer is mutter. If you hold like my watered down version of the Taz is really not correct. The emesis like Rabbi Kivega, but we're going to be mounted the Taz anyway as a suffix derabanan. So then you have to then you have to be down. In each case, is it a derais or is it a derabanan? Yeah.
We're not
there yet. We got more to talk about. Okay, there's more to say. What's the most common application of this? The most common application of this shaila, Tazman Kivega. Happens all the time. Shaila of the fridge. In the olden days, we used to actually, you know, unscrew the fridge light. Now we just take it out and we throw it into the garbage. And when I was a kid, so I grew up, that was the last thing my mother would always do before Shabbos. Right before she bench left, she would unscrew the light of the fridge. So every once in a while, you'd forget, and you have a big, big problem. But what if you have the following? What if I don't remember whether I forgot or not? I'm not sure whether that light's in or not. I have a latest asophic to think that, I don't remember unscrewing that light, but maybe I did, maybe I didn't. So it's Friday night, I'm sitting there plotting, I want to take it out, open up the fridge, I don't get the bottle of wine out, I want to open up the fridge, and I don't know whether the light's on or not. So that's a classic Taz Rabbi Kivega. I didn't say it's a good idea, bad idea, because if you open it up and you're lost, so then you may have problems closing it, that's a different story. So I want to know, Halachah L'maaseh, Rabbi, can open up the fridge or not? It's a suffix where the light's on. Quinte Taz is mutter. Quinte Taz is a suffix, it's a Dov Shenem Miskaven, call it a day. Quinte Rabbi Kivega, it's going to be also, it's like Simon Pezayan. Rabbi Kivegas, this year a day, this Taz, this Rabbi Kivegas, your day of Pezayan is going to cause a lot of trouble in terms of any of these kinds of Sveikas, in terms of Hilchos Psikoresh. Every Sufik Psikoresh is going to potentially become problematic, unless one's willing to argue that the light is only a Derabanan. That's already, we're not learning that far in Hilchos Shabbos, we're not going to go. So if you want to learn the Sugyas of electricity and other things, if you're willing to somehow finagle a way to make it a Derabanan, then maybe you'll be home free anyway. But if it's a deraisa, like it most probably is, so then you're going to be stuck according to this Rabbi Kivega. So again, this Rabbi Kivega, tucked away in Simon Pezayin, your day, is an eye-opener in terms of our whole understanding of Psikoreshah, of Hashem Miskaven, goes way beyond just the issue of stirring under this cold. But we're not going to leave this Ramah, you know, high and dry. We're still trying to work in this Ramah. We're still trying to salvage this Ramah a little bit. That the Ramah is machin avek. He's not too, not losing too much sleep over this chumra of stirring the coals. So we had two biurim so far as to why it's not as bad as we thought it was. Maybe it's not so bad because it's not derech bishlos u'teira. Maybe it's not so bad because it's a davar shenem miskaven. But maybe it's not so bad for another reason, what was mentioned before. Let's give in to Psik Resh. We call it Psik Resh. I'll tell you a secret. It's a real Psik Resh. I know exactly what the guy cooked. He cooked milk an hour ago. I saw him cooking milk an hour ago, and now I see him cooking steak. Now, it's Bish. And again, we're not going the first beer, so we're into this being a Bishal Bas Bechov Deraisa. I could still be an author. You know why? Because, yes, true, it's a Psik Resh, but it's what we call a Psik Resh Delo Michaleg. I don't really care about the outcome. I'm not particularly interested about the guy's having a better tasting steak with his milk, his bleas of milk and his meat, and therefore it's a Psik Resh, albeit a Psik Resh of Michaleg. And maybe those are significant grounds to be making. What is that based on? Whoever heard of such a thing called Psik Resh of Michaleg? Where did that idea come from? That's the Farish Gemara Masech HaShabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, that the medvam amurim, that something's called the psik resha, the yachayv carbon, it's the ice, that's the works, it's a disaster, it's terrible. That's the psik resha, the nichalei. There's a psik resha, the lo nichalei, fairish gemara, latzricha biyar de chavre. I mean, according to some, most of them, it's a fairish gemara, latzricha biyar de chavre, it's a psik resha, the nichalei, and therefore, you're home free. Therefore, it's gaval de gemara, dick, and you're home free. So the chorek, that gemara, Shabbos Kuf Gimel, should be the mathurim, so you pay zayin, and you're there. Call the psik resha, call whatever you want. You don't want to rely on tazas, you want to call it a psik resha, call it a vada psik resha. Call it, you know the facts, and it's still mutter psik resha lomi. So of course you do a meforsam, a machlekes, a rishonim, about why exactly is a psik resha lomi chalei mutter. What made it mutter? We started off by saying davar shem is kavan is mutter. We said that a psik resha is also, and now the Gemara comes and turns around and says, well, psik resha lomi chalei is not so bad. What is not so bad about a psik resha lomi chalei? So yadua machlekes the aruch and toisves. What exactly is the quote unquote poter? I don't want to use the mati yet. What's the poter of a psik resha lomi chalei? Why manishtan a psik resha lomi chalei from a nichalei? So the aruch clearly holds that a psik resha lomi chalei is mutter because once it's lomi chalei, then it's ois psik resha. Then it becomes once again into the category of davar shenei miskaven. It loses its status as psik resha, some deep dark secret, and it becomes once again a davar shenei miskaven. And that's why it's mutter. How do I know that's what the Yoruch says? Because the Yoruch says that a psik resha lo nichalei is mavish mutter. The Gemara never says it's mutter. The Gemara just says you're not chayav a korban for it. The Yoruch translated that line in the Gemara into daf kuf gimel and shabbos to mean it's mutter mamish. Mutter based on what? The only category of heter that we have in Ochel Shabbos is called the davar shenei miskaven. So according to the Yoruch, we started out with the davar shenei miskaven. We labeled it a psik resha, and we said it's also in Torah. We turn around and kuf gimel and Shabbos and call it a psik resha lo nichalei. Completes the circle. It's back to becoming a davar shenei miskaven again. So according to the Yoruch, that a psik resha lo nichalei equals a davar shenei miskaven, it's mutter. It's mutter. Finished. But Tosfos has a whole different ballgame. Tosfos in daf kuf gimel and Masechet Shabbos disagrees with the Yoruch and says that once a psik resha, always a psik resha. It doesn't become a davar shenei miskaven again, and therefore Tosfos says it doesn't become mutter. What does it become? A whole new story. It becomes potter val osur. It's still osur midirabanan. It's not an isur deraisa, but it's not mutter either. So how do you formulate that? What kind of an isur is that? What's the name of that isur? So Tosfos in the very bottom, a one line Tosfos in Kuf Gimel and Aleph and Shabbos calls it something else. He calls it a malacha shen tzrich legufa. Says Tosfos that it's still called a psik resha. It's not a davar shenei miskaven. It's still called a psik resha. The only reason why it happens to be potter is because by a fluke in Hilchos Shabbos, it's a malacha shen tzrich legufa. Again, which is again beyond the scope right now. But everyone's pretty much familiar, at least with the basics of malacha shen tzrich legufa. It happens to be because of a quirk in Hilchos Shabbos when I do a malacha for a different tachlis, a different reason than was practiced in the Mishkan. Is that Tosfos' formulation? So you can't hit me with an nisa deraisa. I'm going to hide behind a different klal halacha called malacha shen tzrich legufa. And therefore, Tosfos says, is since a psik resha lo nichalei equals a malach shen tzrich legufa, it's going to be part of a loss like any other malach shen tzrich legufa. Again, you do him a first of machlekes Tosfos in the Yoruch in Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel. There's a tremendous nafkamina ladina between Tosfos and the Yoruch. What's going to be the unbelievable nafkamina ladina? L'chora, tremendous nafkamina. How's this going to play out in other areas of halacha outside of Hilchos Shabbos? Does the concept of psik resha lo nichalei salvage anything outside of Hilchos Shabbos? Is that meaningful? Does that have any meaning in halacha of psik resha lo nichalei in other areas of halacha? According to the Yoruch, the answer is of course. According to the Yoruch, a psik resha lo nichalei is mutter not only in Shabbos, it's mutter in any area of halacha because it's not called a psik resha anymore. According to the Yoruch, that's undone, the shame psik resha, it's called a davar shenei miskaven. If it's a davar shenei miskaven, it's a davar shenei miskaven, it's mutter in kol ha'tera kula. According to the Shita Ze'arach, all you have to do in Hilchos Bas Bechav and Siman Pei Zayin is just undermine the Nichalei part of it. Just call the Psik Reish alone Nichalei, which it inevitably is going to be. I couldn't care less what the Goy has cooking in his pot. Even if I know there's Bas Bechav cooking in the pot, it's the worst case scenario. Make it even worse than the case that I'm on. There's Mamish Bas Bechav. I see there's Bas Bechav there. And Mamish see there's meat. I see everything there. It doesn't matter. I'm stirring the coals. I'm cooking up my pot. It's a psik reish shalom. I couldn't care less what's in his pot. And it's still mutter according to the Aruch. It's psik reish shalom. Nichle has hefta gomer. It's a davashir miskavin, which, again, not like the shultas. We pass it as mutter kol terakula. So who says this? That a psik reish shalom. Nichle according to the Aruch is mutter legamer, legamer, lechachlish, lechachila, even outside of Rosh Shabbos. Who says this? Way before Rosh Shabbos. Who says this? The Yoruch himself says it. The Yoruch brings rayas that psik reish lo nichalei is mutter from areas of kol tarakula. Everyone's welcome to study out, right? Okay. The marker for the Yoruch is from psik reish lo nichalei is in kol tarakula. The Yoruch for sure holds this way. Notwithstanding that very, very cryptic rush that appears in Maseches Shabbos in one place, but we're going to leave it out for now. So the pashas advarim is that according to the Yoruch, this is going to save the day. If you go straight sheet to the Yoruch, davar shel miskaven is mutter in kol tarakula, psik reish lo nichalei equals the davar shel miskaven, everything is home for you. I'm a Shalom HaYisrael. But of course, according to Tosfos, you're in a pickle. Why? According to Tosfos, Psik Reisha Dolo Nichalei is still called the Davar HaMechavi. It's a Davar, it's still called the Davar HaMechavi, it's still called the Psik Reisha. The only reason, the only mitigating factor of Psik Reisha Dolo Nichalei according to Tosfos is what? Is Melach HaShem Tzich L'Gufa. Melach HaShem Tzich L'Gufa is only mitigating in Shabbos. It's irrelevant outside of Hilchos Shabbos. Therefore, as the Rishonim point out, according to Tosfos, a psik reish lo nichalei outside of Shabbos, the blip, the nisa deraisa, it remains the nisa deraisa. So the last thing we want to do in Siman Pei Zayin is to hide behind psik reish lo nichalei. We can only hide behind psik reish lo nichalei if the Aruch is right. If Tosfos is right, that a psik reish lo nichalei is vait the nisa deraisa in Kol HaTarakula, it's at best the nisa derabbanan Hilchos Shabbos, but it's also the deraisa in Kol HaTarakula, then you accomplish mamish nothing. Now, we don't know. We want to be machri like the Aruch against Tosfos. So you got to learn Hilchos Shabbos for that. The Pashta Dvarim is that we don't really follow the Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes through Hilchos Shabbos. There are some used to rely on the Aruch. We don't like to rely on the Aruch. So the last thing we want to do and to be mounted is barbecue over here, to cooking under the Goy's pot, is to invoke the Aruch's, the Psik Reish Lo Nichalei. It's probably not the direction that we want to go in. We have, most of the Rishon probably hold like Tosfos. The Psik Reish Lo Nichalei is still awesome in the Rabbanim because it's the Melach Shehatzich L'Gufa only, which translates to mean outside of Shabbos, it's a Nisa D'Araisa, which translates for trouble in this Ramon Siman Pesach. So I hope on him, we have three possible ways to defend this idea of cooking and stirring my coals, knowing or not knowing, or some knowing, or some degree of knowing of what the guy's got in his pot. What are the mitigating factors here? Why is this not as bad as we thought it was? So one mitigating factor is pure Yerdeya. To say, it's not derech bishlos satori, there's no deraisa here anyway, it's only tam, and tam is not really ki'ikah by bas b'cholof. We don't really mean that, but we really do mean that. It means this kind of tam ki'ikah doesn't apply to deraisa by bas b'cholof, so therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Or if you don't want to go the Yerdeya route, you want to salvage this din, you want to be mate, this campfire setting, based on Arachayim, then you got to do some fancy footwork in terms of Arachayim, in terms of Psik Reisha. So one possibility is to call it a Davar Sheni Miskaven, and call it a day. We can make it through a curveball by invoking the principle called Suffolk Psik Reisha. We spent a lot of time figuring out, is Rabbi Kivega right, the Taz right, depends on how you understand it, it's not Rabbi Chan, the whole razzle dazzle shkul Torah. So we are not that comfortable with being mata the stirrer just based on Rabbi Kivega. Then we could throw in for good luck, maybe we have another tzalocha. What's the other tzalocha? Well, maybe the Aruch's right. Maybe the Aruch's right. We don't have enough time now, because we're about minchah in 2 minutes, but you can think about it on your own. This is for advanced thought process for homework. Well, not going to actually be about it on Tuesday, but that this third tzad, lahokel, is probably the same as the second tzad, lahokel. Namely, the machlekes, the Taz and Kiveger, in terms of pure lumdus, may very well be the same exact machlekes, the Aruch and Taisus. If you take a look at Rebbe Chanan and Ksubas, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So lav dafka, we want to say, well, maybe it's mutter for reason one, maybe it's mutter for reason two, maybe it's mutter for reason three, because reason two and three, in terms of pure lumdus, may be the exact same. Depending on what you think about Psik Reisha is, again, think about it a little bit. So I'll call upon him. We're not quite sure what the issue in this Ramah is. We know the Ramah is not as concerned with this Chumrah as others were. Others were very, very into this Chumrah, and this whole discussion touches on some very important yesodis, both in terms of Bas Mechalav, in terms of Psik Reishas and Shabbos, and Kol Terakula, a lot of important things. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Tuesday, so we'll try to finish up Pei Zayin. We have two more sugyas left in Pei Zayin. One is the issue of Beitzim. We're not going to spend that much time on the nitty-gritty of the Beitzim, just a couple of ha'aras about the Beitzim, whether they're fleshiks or not. And then the sugya of Keva. So Keva, I'm sure everyone had an enjoyable time trying to figure out what in the world's going on in Keva. You just have to try not to get sick as you're learning the sugya of Keva, but hopefully we'll try to speak a little bit to some Russian prachim about Keva. Not going to spend that much time, but just to get the basic ABCs, what's going on to the Keva, and then that'll probably take us most of Tuesday this year, and then hopefully after this, we'll actually get into Pentas at some point.
Oh,
it's Tarif the Kulas. The Ramah says that it's not so terrible. Others say it is terrible. You want to know what happens? When was the last time you ever had the shalom? No one ever asked me the shalom. So I have yet to pass the lemais on it. It's great for lomdus, but not too much. Okay. Good. Okay, well, done. This is.